Exploring Nostalgia for the Future. I find that a very compelling title, Exploring Nostalgia for the Future. Where did that title come from?
It actually came from an article by Jim Wayne Miller in Appalachian Journal that was written years ago. And I just liked the idea, you know, thinking about nostalgia is not necessarily trying to relive the past, but, you know, is a political statement about the kind of future we want to have.
Let's start with the basics. For listeners who may know very little about what Augusta is, it's much more than just a series of summer festivals, isn't it?
That's correct. Augusta's been around for about 40 years, and we're best known for our week-long summer workshop series. We have 5 weeks every summer, and we also have a week in the fall. And folks come for the week at a time to take workshops in music, dance, crafts, and folklore. And then while they're here in the evenings, we have dances, concerts, lectures, other special events, and then we have the Augusta Festival at the end of the summer, which includes a craft fair and lots of other activities.
It's really focused on learning and passing that music down.
You know, I think one of the important things about Augusta is that it provides an opportunity for people to participate in a really hands-on way in a tradition and to be part of a living tradition. You can learn from people around you, whether they're students or instructors, and even the informal jam sessions and informal activities in the evening offer a chance to interact with folks and to really be part of a community of learners. And I think that's one of the best parts about Augusta is the immersive experience and being here for Augusta. I mean, they call it the Augusta experience. People make really close friends. They have, we call them Augusta moments, actually, really powerful moments. Sometimes moments that'll take your breath away when the music is just incredible or the dancing. There's just a moment where everyone's energy seems to connect, and people take those moments home and remember them. And I think that's why Augusta has been so important to so many people over the years, because of that face-to-face, hands-on interaction.
Did you learn anything new as you worked on your master's thesis about Augusta that maybe you didn't know before?
It was very interesting because I got to dig through lots of old dusty files and talk to people who've been around Augusta at various parts of its history. And, you know, I was curious about how it all got started, especially, and how it evolved into what it is today. So I found out that at the very beginning, it was sort of a collaboration between several different groups in the area, including folks from Davis and Elkins College, as well as the local community arts council at the time. And they were really concerned about preserving traditional crafts. And so they started a craft workshop summer program, and they had one music class at that time. And I found it was really interesting to see over time how the program grew and evolved somewhat by trial and error. But a lot of the things that we think of as important parts of Augusta really were there from the beginning. They started a scholarship program to support folks who couldn't afford maybe to come on their own to take a workshop. They also started offering college credit for Augusta workshops, which we still do through Davis and Elkins College, and several things like that. The festival was started the second year of Augusta. It started out as a way to showcase the students' work and sort of evolved from there. So it's neat to see that some of these things that are still really important parts of Augusta were really there from the beginning in some form.
This is the center's 42nd year. You talked about the early days of Augusta in 1972 and 1973. In your research, did you find out anything of what was going on in the music scene at the time of 72 and 73 that would lead people to want to come together and play old-time music in order to save it?
At that time period, it was sort of, well, it was on the heels of the folk revival of the 1960s. And also at that time, there was the Back to the Land movement was pretty was happening in West Virginia, and there were a lot of folks moving to Randolph County wanting to learn traditional ways of life, and that didn't just include music, it also included gardening and crafts. People wanted to learn how to build a log cabin and live without electricity and can their own food. And I think a lot of people moved to the area at that time. You know, young people moved to raise their families, you know, in the country, and they wanted to learn how to do things the old-fashioned way and started trying to learn from the elders in the community. And so I think that really helped feed Augusta. The first couple of years were very successful. They they had twice as many people the first year as they expected, and that number doubled the following year. And so I think the local people who were concerned about preserving their traditions had a ready-made audience for these workshops.
In hearing what you've just said, it's 1972, 1973. People want to learn how to live off the grid. People want to learn how to grow their own food. We could almost be talking about 2015.
Absolutely. I think these things sort of cycle through, and I think there's a lot of parallels between things that are happening now and things that were happening in the 70s. I see a lot of young people becoming interested in traditional music and craft. There's a whole DIY movement. There's a local food movement, and all those things are sort of, I think, are contemporary iterations of similar themes from the 70s.
Brittany Hicks, thank you very much.
Thank you.